It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of the afternoon show is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
But the Celtics, mission accomplished for the second round.
The Boston Celtics have punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals for the sixth time in 8 years. And they will await the winner between Indiana and New York.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
I think we got this NBA offseason all wrong, Andy. I mean, I did. I don't know about you. Rich Keefe was taking credit for it, saying, I saw this coming with Cleveland. I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all. I thought the Cavaliers would just be another pushover team in the Eastern Conference like they were in the playoffs. And I know Mitchell was hurt for some of those games. But, you know, they got a good roster. Garland's good. Mitchell's good. I like Mobley. I like Allen. I like Okoro. Like, they have a solid roster. They have pretty good depth. They just didn't seem to me to be of the talent level of the Celtics. And I think you saw that in the playoffs. I think everybody expected that coming into this season, because Cleveland is one of the teams that didn't really do anything. Milwaukee's in that list. There's other teams that did a lot of stuff, like the Knicks, like the Sixers, and other teams like that. But the Bucks didn't really do anything, and the Cavs didn't really do anything. And those two teams could not have gotten off to more different starts right now. And I sort of brushed the Cavaliers off as just a team that sort of is resigned to their fate, and they know that they're not going to beat the Celtics, but they're not ready to make any big moves yet, so they're just going to be hanging around and being a playoff team but not really ever doing anything substantial. And so far, they're off to the best start of any team since the 2016 Golden State Warriors, who had a pretty damn good run there if you'd been paying attention for the last 10 years to NBA basketball. And they haven't just beaten cream puffs either. They've beaten the Lakers, they've beaten the Knicks, they've beaten the Magic, and they beat the Warriors, who beat you, Celtics. The Celtics play Cleveland 1 week from today, and I'm so desperate for these Celtics to have a rival. I say bring it on, Cleveland Cavaliers. It's 2013 all over again. It's LeBron versus Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley and Kyrie and Kevin Love and Jay Crowder and all the rest of Jared Sullinger. It bring me back there. The rivalry's back on, or even back to 2008, which I didn't think they were rivals at that time, but that's when the big three knocked LeBron out of the playoffs. Yep. In that great 7-game series, him and Paul Pierce. There's been some, you know, Cleveland, there's been a decent little rivalry there. Even in the 90s, I remember those Mark Price, Hot Rod Williams teams knocking the old Celtics, the old 80s Celtics out of the playoffs in the early 90s there, and sort of ending that whole thing. But yeah, here it is. Here's your rival right now. You've been waiting for a rival, Celtics. Here it is. It's not Denver. It's not the Lakers. It's not the Bucks. It's not the Sixers. Not any of those teams. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think they are worthy. I'm surprised. It seems like they lost to the Celtics and they decided, you know what? We can beat those guys. We're going to go back out there next season. We're going to start off hot. And they've started off hotter than every other team. I don't know if they're not going to go 82-0 or anything. But 12-0, that's substantial. That's something I don't take lightly. And I consider them right now to be the Celtics rivals.
We'll see if they're up to it. I'm not sure I'm necessarily buying it. I definitely didn't expect it or project it coming into the season. And I haven't watched any of their games, I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen them play yet.
And I've seen highlights, but yeah, that's it.
Like, I don't know that I totally understand it. I don't totally, like, looking at their stats, looking at their win, like, I don't know exactly what I think of them. And I do think if the Celtics are paying attention to people like you, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they are.
Definitely.
I'm sure they're P1s and listen all the time.
They got it out in the yeah, Auerbach Center right there.
Like, we could throw a baseball and hit them. This feels like a game that could be a little bee in their bonnet. Now, obviously, that didn't go well. Right. I thought the Warriors would be that. It didn't go well. But I feel like they are a group that, like, oh, oh, you guys think they're the up and coming team or they're going to be the one seed. They haven't done it, and we're going to show you why they haven't done it and why they don't have anywhere near as deep a roster as we have. They don't have anywhere near as good a starting five as we have, and circle this game. I think they could. And I think there's a chance the Celtics beat them by 20. I really do.
I can see that, too.
I'm dubious, and they may prove me wrong. And you know me, I'm reactionary, too. Mm-hmm. So then if I see them upset the Celtics, which, sorry, take that back. I'm not sure it's an upset. They are the undefeated team.
They are.
They're two games better than them at this point. If they beat the Celtics, then I'll take them seriously. For now, I don't take you seriously. I also don't take Rich Keefe seriously picking them. That's like saying Fitzy picked the Patriots to be good. Yeah, every year for 25 years, and for like 20 of them he was right, and 4 of them he was wrong. Like he's always
Keefe doesn't pick the Cavaliers to be good every year.
No, but he likes Donovan Mitchell, and he likes him more than he should. And
I like Donovan Mitchell, too.
I also didn't hear where Keefe picked them to win the East or anything.
Keefe just likes him because he played in New Hampshire, I think. That's it.
Oh, is that all?
Donovan Mitchell played in Wolfboro at, what the hell is the name of that school on Winnipesaukee? Brewster Academy. Okay. He played at Brewster Academy.
That makes sense.
That's a basketball factory, by the way. Yeah. There's a bunch of good prep school basketball teams up there in New Hampshire. Nerlens Noel played for Tilton, I want to say. Brewster's the big one. T.J. Warren played there, and a bunch of other guys who have, you know, either played semi-pro or made it to the NBA. It's a wagon of a high school basketball factory here in the Northeast, and Mitchell was clearly the best name to come out of there. But yeah, that explains it. Keefe's New Hampshire through and through.
So you know? Do you, like, you look at their numbers. Mitchell, 23.7 he's averaging. Garland, 20.2.
Mm-hmm.
Mobley, 18.1. Like, do you look at that and go, oh, wow, they're better than the Celtics? Like,
six guys averaging double figures. I mean, I don't think that's nothing. I think that's certainly an impressive thing if you're talking about depth.
Don't the Celtics have that?
Sure they do, but I'm saying not a lot of teams do. So
and the Celtics will have seven once...
Porzingis comes back. I don't know. Do the Celtics have six? They have, let's see, Holiday, Pritchard, White, Brown, Tatum. That's five. They have five guys in double figures. And one of them's their sixth man. So, you know, that's just something to keep an eye on. And again, I don't think that really means all that much. We're just talking about points here.
No, Cleveland
has a lot of ways to hurt you, is what I'm saying.
And the Celtics have a lot of ways to hurt them.
Sure.
I'm surprised you're jumping on the bandwagon of another team.
I didn't say they were better than the Celtics. I said they're the Celtics' rivals.
Who are you picking when they play?
I'm picking the Celtics.
By how many?
I think the line will probably be something like, is the game in Boston? If it's in Boston, it'll probably be like 5.5, 6, right, something like that.
It was 6 or 6.5 over the Warriors when
they
lost.
I'd say it'd be about there, assuming that, you know, teams are both healthy and you got all the guys that you expect. That affects the line sometimes. But, yeah, I'd still take the Celtics. I'd take them and lay the points there if we're talking about that right now.
What's our extra motivation to call this a rivalry, other than they started off hotter than you and they're ahead of you in the standings? Like,
my motivation is that the Celtics don't have another
rival. No, I mean, like,
that's my motivation
for them as a team.
For Cleveland?
The Celtics and Cleveland, that dynamic to really...
Cleveland wants to be the Celtics' rival because the Celtics are the reigning champs and you want to be the team that knocks them off and considered on their level and all that. So I get why Cleveland would
like,
want that.
Yeah. Giannis just gave the freaking Christian Arkin grandma DB handshake thing.
Sure did.
And that was already a potential rival. So my point would be if that happened to Donovan Mitchell and Jaylen Brown, you'd be like, okay, now we got something here. I feel like I need a little extra... little sauce on top of the ice cream here.
Yeah, a little
dislike. This is a good bowl of ice cream, but it needs a little sauce on top.
Yes, Brian.
Not that this is much, but they did play each other in the playoffs last year, and Mitchell got hurt.
Right.
And they were...
called every opponent the Celtics
true,
played.
Yeah, true, but I'm saying I think it was 1-1 after two games. Cavs took game two in Boston. It was a pretty competitive series. I wonder if Cleveland's like, if we had Mitchell, we could have given these guys more of a run than we did.
That's what they all say, though. That's the entirety of the postseason.
I'm sure they think that, but they didn't
necessarily... Screw you, Cleveland. I'm going to steer into my Homer Andy today.
Okay.
Screw you, Cleveland. You stink. You're overrated, and the Celtics are going to beat you by 30.
All right. Well, they're better than the Celtics right now. 617-779-7937. The NBA. In a weird place right now, as the Milwaukee Bucks bottoming out, the Sixers have their star players assaulting local journalists, and they're not good either. What combos may come out of this? Is a realignment on the horizon here in the NBA? Are you going to see guys teaming up? Are you going to see trades get made here at the deadline? I think all of that's on the table right now, considering some of the starts these teams are off to. We'll get into that right after Stiz. It's been a-
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Get you caught up on what's trending.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Giannis is a child. I'm just focused on helping my team get a win, and that's what we did tonight.
Nice work, Stiz. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. That was Jaylen Brown after the Bucks game, Celtics win over the Bucks over the weekend, where he got elbowed in the head by Giannis Antetokounmpo pretty flagrantly, and that was one of two potential flagrant fouls that could have called on Giannis and didn't in that game.
No, you don't say?
Yeah, the other one.
Is this like every other game he's ever played in his entire career?
Well, he's not doing that every game, I don't think.
He's a bully. He does something that no one should get away with every game.
Okay, he's not elbowing people in the head every single game.
He runs them over sometimes. Sometimes it's a shoulder into him.
All right, well, if you get run over by Giannis, sometimes that's your, you know, like that's, those are legal plays. You're allowed to do that. You're not allowed to swing your elbows.
You shouldn't be allowed to run people over.
Why not?
Because that's not, but if you're Giannis and occasionally LeBron, it's fine.
Yeah. If you can do it, you can do it. That's not against the rules to run people over. It's against the rules to elbow people.
Basketball is supposed to be a fluid sport about spacing and beauty.
Okay. And yet everyone's taking too many threes. It's got to be one or the other. Either you're taking too many threes or Giannis is running people over. It can't be both. Either way, I think that in general, you know, you look at plays like that. Elbowing someone in the head is against the rules. Standing in someone's landing space like he did to Jason Tatum is against the rules, and they emphasized that over the last couple of years to get it out of the game. The old Bruce Bowen play, Bowen used to do, they used to step into people's landing space just to hurt them. Like, that was his thing. And they've tried really hard to get that out of the game. And then Giannis, who has legs that are like two trees, standing there, Tatum clearly lands on him, and they don't blow the whistle. One of the most obvious elbows to the head you'll ever see in your life, which they're also trying to get out of the game. No whistle there either. And then to top it all off, Giannis does the grandma thing through the air, which just made him look like such a D-bag. His team is a mess. The Bucks are falling apart in front of everyone's eyes. And I think there's a shakeup coming here in the NBA. I don't think that the Bucks are going to sit idly by and watch this happen. Same with the Sixers. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time we get to either the trade deadline, or maybe I'm early on this and it doesn't happen until the offseason, and maybe some of these guys end up, you know, getting their act together and getting out of the cellar. But I think right now there is a shakeup on the horizon. I think that's coming, and I'm wondering where it's going to go. I'm wondering where Giannis is going to wind up, or someone like Lillard, or someone like Joel Embiid even, Paul George, these guys that were brought in. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that any of them right now are really feeling the love from their hometown fans, from their coaches, from their owners, from any of that. I think right now there is some real discomfort among these NBA owners and these teams, and they're looking at these escalating taxes for every single team in the league except Detroit's heavy over the salary cap. And when you get to the apron talk and all of that and these max contracts and everything else, which a lot of these guys already have, but I think some of these teams might, if things keep going like this, start really considering starting over and saying, you know what, this whole thing with this guy or that guy or whoever isn't working. We're going to try and swing a deal. And then the question becomes, who's going to swoop in and who's going to make that happen? Where are these guys going to go? What kind of combinations do you think could be dreamt up here? I think there's a lot of potential, both in the Western Conference and in the Eastern Conference. There's teams off to bad starts in the West, certainly right now, too, that maybe we weren't expecting. Dallas is 500. Sacramento's not very good. Those were both teams that seemed like they were going to be much better this year, and they're off to slow starts. I think there's a real chance, and we'll see if it actually happens or not, but the Celtics are looking like every bit as good as they were last year. Cleveland's emerged, and no one else in the Eastern Conference really has much to say about challenging them. Everybody else is 500 or below, it seems like. So that to me signals this isn't going to be like this very long. Something's going to happen.
I just wonder where the philosophical mindset is sort of league-wide, because like the Knicks, they're basically a 500 team.
Yep.
And even the Bucks a year ago bring in Dame Lillard. And you watch the Nuggets win a title, you watch the Celtics win a title, yep, where they kind of have homegrown stars. Even the Bucks the first iteration was about the homegrown superstar mm-hmm. winning a title.
Yep.
Are more teams going to go down that road? Are more teams going to look at that in with a longer term? And then you have the draft and Flag and him coming into the league and what teams are going to do at the bottom and how that ties into what anybody else is doing. I just wonder, there's been so many of these failed quote-unquote super teams, which sure. really aren't super teams. But then you also look at, like, Phoenix is 8-2.
Yep.
And you say, well, do you have to slow play the super team? Is there that developmental curve for the super team? Could they make a run at a title this year?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in the NBA, we go through these phases of philosophy of like how to build the right team and
yeah.
what it is. And it's a super team and it's a duo. No, it's a trio. It's homegrown. It's one homegrown. And then you have to build around him and bring in complementary stars. And I just wonder what people are thinking about right now in terms like if you trade for Giannis. That, well, I mean, it's going to alter the franchise he leaves,
sure.
obviously. But it's also going to alter your franchise for a long time. That's going to be players. That's going to be boatloads of first-round draft picks. Mm-hmm. You're kind of picking a lane. You're picking a plan.
Yep.
And I wonder, have there been so many failures, the Clippers, the 76ers in different ways, these teams, even the Bucks, have there been failures? I don't know if it's too early to call the Knicks deal a failure, but have there been so many failures that people are like, that doesn't seem like the right way to do business anymore?
Yeah, maybe. I think that building through the draft is a much longer, tedious project than,
yep.
you know, remember Trust the Process in Philadelphia. That thing took forever. And, you know, half of Ben Simmons is gone. Okafor's gone. All those guys, a lot of them flamed out before.
They've done it both ways.
It's
Trust
true.
The process, build
yeah.
through the draft. That didn't work. So now we're going to start bringing in stars.
Sign a bunch of people, yeah.
around Embiid and changing that up.
But they also drafted pretty well. I mean, Maxey's a draft pick, Embiid's a draft. Like, they've drafted relatively well over the years. Not every year, but I think that they have some homegrown guys they can look at. It wasn't all just bringing in people from outside. Not like Phoenix, you know, or not like some of these other teams you just mentioned who went all out and said, all right, we're just going to get everyone we can to play around Devin Booker. So, I mean, that's possible. You know who's been very quiet, almost too quiet? Miami. Miami Heat didn't do anything in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got pieces. You know, they got Hero, they got Adebayo, they don't have a lot of money to spend, but, you know, they have pieces out there that people want. Terry Rozier, not marquee guys or anything, but you add all those together.
They have a lot of good young players.
Good too. Young players, guys that if you add them all together, throw in some draft picks, you can make that look tempting to the Milwaukee Bucks if you want to bring Giannis out to Miami to play with Butler. Yeah, I mean, sure, why not?
That's a bully team.
Yeah.
That's a bulldog team. That's a team that would immediately...
Jimmy will whip him into shape.
But that would immediately become the Celtics' rival. Because
yeah.
you can argue that the Heat have been the Celtics' rival for
yep.
a while now. And you add those two, and even I would have to be like, huh, are there... They seem tougher. They're definitely more physical. Definitely more physical than you. In a, no question asked. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, like, you bring up Embiid. Oh, they draft Embiid. They got a great player. Maybe Embiid's the problem, like which the Bucks might be saying about Giannis at this
yeah,
point.
Absolutely.
Maybe he's the problem. So
well, Giannis has won at least.
No, he has.
Yeah.
But just because you won doesn't mean you're a winner.
Mm. Yeah, you're more of a winner than Embiid is.
That was one of those pause.
I know. I had to let that one sit there
pause.
For a bit.
If I were Tim Allen, I'd go. Ugh.
I do agree on some level, but it does make you more of a winner than a guy who's never won. Right? He may not be a
yes.
winner, but he's more of a winner than Embiid.
Yes.
Right.
But there are winners who don't win and losers who do win.
Mm. Are there winners who don't win?
Yeah, I feel like there must be.
Like who?
I don't know. I mean,
okay.
You're putting me on the spot. I feel like Bridget here.
You said it.
Would you ask three winners who've never won?
It was your question to her, first of all.
I don't know. Is Charles Barkley not a winner?
No.
But Robert Horry's a great winner?
I don't think Robert Horry's a better player than Charles
no,
Barkley.
No, I said
Robert Horry wasn't
winner.
The leader
winner.
Of that team.
You're comparing
winner.
Bus drivers to bus riders, though, Andy.
Oh,
like, there's a big
road, no.
difference between Charles Barkley and
yeah.
Robert Horry.
Big D? What?
What?
I said, you're comparing
bus
drivers to bus riders. Charles Barkley was always the
yeah.
best player on his
like
team. Robert Horry was a
Barkley's better than
player.
Scal, but Scal won a championship.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that
right.
you're talking about the leader
no,
on
I'm
a team.
I'm saying
the
within
main
their
guy
roles.
The
within their roles, I think there are winners who don't always win.
Mm.
Like, would you have said...
Dan Marino's not a winner? Yes.
How about Kevin Garnett if he hadn't come here and won?
Not a winner, no. He always let... I mean, come on. He only made it out of the first round one time
so
in Minnesota.
Paul Pierce, not a winner.
Not a winner, no.
So they somehow became winners together. So neither of them are actually winners.
No, they're winners.
Oh.
They came together and they won.
Okay.
You got to win to be a winner.
See, that's where I disagree.
You disagree that you have to win to be a winner.
I think there are great competitors, great that the situation isn't right, the team isn't right, the complementary
being a great competitor is different from being a winner. Kevin Garnett's one of the greatest competitors in the history of the league.
So you're just pure scoreboard.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, yeah, I don't look at it that way. Like, I don't think Kyrie Irving's
about winning,
a winner.
Yes, if you're winning,
I think
you have
Kyrie
to look at the
Irving
scoreboard.
Is a loser, inherent loser, and yet he's won.
He made one of the biggest shots in the NBA
sure.
Finals history.
So by the scoreboard,
losers don't do that.
By your way, he's a winner. I look more...
Andy, the scoreboard's how you determine a winner.
No, no, no. Of a game, not necessarily your core principles, like your core makeup. I think there's a difference. I think there are winners who don't win and losers who do win.
Okay. I think Kevin Durant is a loser who won.
That's fair. Right there. That's a good example. I think Kevin Durant's a loser
who
won.
Because he wouldn't have won if he didn't
Thank
go to Golden
you, Brian.
State. And he dropped himself into a
73
win team.
That's a better example than Giannis, I would say. Giannis didn't join some 70-win team. He won with his
sure.
team, right? I mean, that's
sure.
that, I sort of agree with you there, but I think that's a different thing you're saying than what Giannis isn't a winner because you don't like his attitude.
I'm not sure Giannis is a winner. I think Giannis, you mentioned it yesterday, like the fake stats and the things mm-hmm. he cares about. Like, some of those, to me, undercut your focus on the bottom line. And that's a great example. Brian, that's your best contribution to this show yet. That is a perfect example.
Pretty low bar Uh-oh. So far.
Yep. Pretty tough text up here at the top, Andy. You want to read that one?
Hart sounds like a liberal. I sound like a weenie? I sound like a weenie? Yeah, Mike Trout, Andy.
How's it feel?
That's a good one, 603.
I like how it goes from, Andy, you sound like a liberal. You guys suck. Shut the bleep up. Did I just hear a Tim Taylor reference? Like, the text line's on fire right now. I got to say, yeah. The text line is off
Somebody
the hook
actually
right
said, instead of shut the F up. They
yeah, I see that, yes.
You think they intentionally said that?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think that may have been an
their
autocorrect
talk to text, whatever.
Situation, like something along those lines. Anyways.
Yeah, Ray Bourque in Boston was a winner who never won. You
he
think
was
Ray Bourque? I
he
want
was
you
a
to
very
say
good
it.
Player.
You think Ray Bourque was a loser?
In Boston, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
What do you?
I feel like that's a fireable offense
I
in this
I don't
city.
Think it is. Okay, did the Boston fans look like winners or losers when they had a little championship ceremony for Ray Bourque when he went to Colorado and won a cup? Did they look like winners
looked
or losers?
Like losers?
They looked like losers because
that doesn't mean
was
they
a
are
loser
losers.
Move, and because Bourque, when he was here, didn't win anything.
But
thus, he was a great player, but a loser. I'm
they
sorry.
Had Boston fans had established themselves as winning fans for years.
Mm.
Yes.
In hockey?
In, yes.
Well,
I think
there was
the
a couple
support,
of years in the 70s, but I mean, that's about it.
I think
it.
The support that the... No, it's not whether they won. It's whether that you brought up fans. I think winner and loser is at your core. It's in your makeup. It doesn't necessarily mean you actually win in the end or you actually lose in the end.
I think, okay.
Did you
so
think
I
your presidential
you
candidate was a winner?
No, I guess not. I guess I didn't. I didn't think the guy who won was a winner either. But there you go.
And you could actually argue that. There's plenty of people that think, he's a loser, but he won.
Right.
He's won twice.
He's won and lost. So you got it. You can't say he's all loser.
So you can't just go by the scoreboard.
He's won more than he's lost, but you can't call him. I don't like him, but you can't call him a loser. He's won the two elections.
Sure, you can assess somebody however you want.
Sure, but
we
I think,
judge people all the time. It's what we do.
I can say he's a jerk or he's a, you know, D-bag
a
or
loser.
Whatever, but I can't say he's a loser when he won two elections.
By the letter of the scoreboard law, you can't. This is what, like, do you believe Randy Moss is a loser?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you would. You're in
he's
line
one of
with
my
another
favorite
popular
players.
Radio host
he's
in this
one
town.
Of my favorite players of all time, but come on. I mean,
he scored the touchdown. Had nothing. It was Romeo Crennel and Ellis Hobbs. No, it was Dean Pease and Ellis Hobbs, sorry, that lost that game. Randy Moss, in the end, made the play he needed to play in his role. Now, you could argue, oh, I should have scored more points, whatever. I don't think
14 points
that team lost because Randy Moss was a loser.
I didn't say they lost because of him. I'm just saying he's never won.
Right. So he's a loser.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's that complicated.
See, I do.
Okay.
How about a guy like Mike Trout, who's been on just the worst teams ever?
So he's a loser.
Loser.
Throughout
loser.
His career.
Absolute loser.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, winner.
No, he won.
Winner. Like, it changes overnight. You
it's
go from a loser to
like,
a winner.
With, like, a choker, you know? Like, you called Peyton Manning and A-Rod chokers for years and years and years until they won, and then they're not chokers anymore. It's not really that complicated. You know, A-Rod was a choker
Peyton Manning,
for his whole
borderline
career.
Loser in my mind.
Peyton Manning was a choke artist.
But he won.
End all choke, and then he
you
won.
You think he's a winner.
He won with the Colts, and then he went to the Denver, and he won with them, too. So you can't call him a choker anymore, and you can't call him a loser. I'm sorry. That's the way it works. I don't think this is very controversial, what I'm saying here.
Oh, well, if you're a simpleton and just go by the scoreboard and the win and the loss, I'm talking about the makeup.
You're the one
of
who always says words have meaning, Andy. Sure. And if you win, you're a winner.
But there's two forms of the word loser and winner. Like, there's the book definition of a game.
And then there's the Andy Hart winner definition, which just goes to
whatever
you
think. Wait, you don't
think
some people are winners in life? That whole idea, like, that guy's a winner. He was born a winner. He does everything right to help his family, his employer, whatever.
Right. And if he's winning,
but if he doesn't actually win.
Well, I mean, okay, not everyone has a job.
Then he's not a winner.
Competitive win and loss.
Well, everybody does. Everybody has something.
Not really.
Like, you have goals to achieve.
Sure.
Like, there's plenty of politicians that I think are probably think they're winners. They have a lot of supporters that think they're winners.
Sure, there's also a lot of people who work random desk jobs and don't necessarily have to win or lose anything. They just do their job.
Like,
that's not, you know.
Win the day.
But it's not competing like it is in a sporting event. Come on.
But that's my point. Like, those people, you make a judgment on them. You've worked with people you think are losers, right?
No. I'm working with one right now.
Your words. I did not say that. That was pretty good.
But the reality is, we do that. Like, that guy's a loser. He'll always be a loser. That guy's a winner. I like him. Like, in high school and college, you go through, you're surrounded by a million people. Doesn't mean they actually win the game, the title, whatever. Right? You just struggle with that.
I guess. Yeah.
Like,
I struggle with calling people who don't win winners.
Why did you not struggle with Kevin Durant?
With Kevin Durant, because he did win, but he just jumped on a really good team. I think there's a difference between that and someone like Giannis, which is how this whole thing started. A guy like Giannis who was drafted onto a team, they built the team around him. They weren't a super team by any means. It was him, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton. I mean, that's a pretty good team, but it's not what the Celtics were last year, and he won a championship. So I consider him a winner for doing that. He was the main guy. He won. He was the MVP. He's been the MVP three times. Like, he's a winner. I call him a winner. Same with Jokic. Jokic has those MVPs. He won a championship. That validates him as a winner. That's how you do it. I think it's a pretty big thing to be a winner.
Jim Kelly,
not a winner.
Loser. Wade Boggs
won with the Yankees, so eventually became a winner.
Okay,
with the Red Sox, loser.
These texts are rolling because Arcan sounding like a clown ass at the moment. Mr. Philosopher Hart, Andy is the worst argument of all time. Guys, it's not 5 o'clock yet. Can we tone it down?
No, we can't.
Arcan just sounds stupid. Mm-hmm. Hart is a loser. Somehow, everybody thinks both of us are wrong, according to the text.
I'm enjoying this. That means we're doing something right here. That means this discussion is reaching a lot
of
people.
So are we both winners or losers in this situation?
I'd say we're both losers.
And the audience is all losers.
Definitely. They're 100% the biggest losers, I'd say, in this scenario. One other team that I've got my eye on here, if there's another realignment, another shakeup coming in the Eastern Conference, Chicago. The Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
They have been, I think, very quietly waiting for a moment like this, waiting for something to happen. They tried it with DeRozan and LaVine and bringing in, their big guy.
Vucevic,
thank you. And it didn't work out, obviously. They've been a bottom-feeding team here, like fringe playoff team, even if that, the last couple of years. I think they're waiting for a big reset. I think they're waiting for a scenario like this one where they can say, hey, let's get our name back out there. Let's be the Bulls again, you know, a winning franchise, and let's get some guys in here who can sell some tickets.
Franchises can be winning and losing?
Absolutely they can. 100% they can.
Wait, the Bucks were losers.
They were.
Until the ultimate winner
arrived.
Actually,
no, they weren't losers. They had Kareem back in the day.
No, I meant the football Bucks until the ultimate winner arrived.
Oh, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yeah, sure, of course.
They were losers,
right? They were, absolutely.
Chicago's an interesting one to me because, so, like, we heard the reports earlier for Giannis. It was Miami, Brooklyn, one other? I feel like there was one other team.
Oklahoma City's been floated out just because they have so many picks stocked up. And I've also heard Golden State to try to pair him with Curry.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. But
that'd be something.
Chicago's an interesting team to me. I feel like they're a little bit like Boston in a sense where they obviously have the history and the idea.
Yeah.
But are they a destination? Like, they're not a warm weather destination like Miami.
Definitely not. No.
They're not New York, which seems to be a draw for certain players.
It's a big
city,
though. It's a fun big city.
I just wonder, now, for Giannis coming from Milwaukee, that's an upgrade for him. Like, that's a good city. I just wonder the draw that they would be. But if enough people are down and out, and there's a number of these, maybe you can swoop in and not have to be a destination just to get a marquee player.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to have an executive with the cojones to go out and swing these deals like Brad Stevens has been. And that's really, if you think about it, what separates the Celtics from a lot of these other teams. They went out there, they have an owner who was willing to spend all his dad's money, which thank you for doing that, by the way, Wick. And you had an executive in Brad Stevens who had the cojones to go out there and swing these moves and make these trades and do all this stuff with the blessing blessing of his owner. I don't know how many teams have that in the league right now. But the Celtics had it. They took full advantage of it, and hopefully whoever buys this team will continue that tradition. 617-779-7937. The Boston Red Sox reportedly meeting with Juan Soto. Andy's over the moon for it. I'm still skeptical. We'll get to that next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Valdez is in at second, by the way. The pitch is a line hopper towards short into the outfield, a base hit. Cedan is going to come up throwing. They send the runner, and the tag is not in time. Head first slide, and the Yankees win it 2-1. It just took one hitter, and New York wins for the second straight night in extra innings. Winkowski was ahead of Soto 1-2, laid one in there, and passed the dive of the shortstop. Trevor's Story, Cedan could not get enough on the throw, and the Yankees win it 2-1.
It's Will Fleming on the call there. The Red Sox walked off by the Yankees. That was in September. I want to say September 12th. Yeah, September 12th. The Red Sox, obviously, in the month of September, things were actively falling apart, so weren't a lot of wins there to be sure. Let's see, when did this happen? This was part of losing 3 out of 4 to the Yankees in New York. They would then go on to lose a series to Tampa. I think they beat Minnesota, and then the season was basically over after that. The Yankees were still trying to hold on to first place in the AL East, and Juan Soto with his first walk-off of the season. It happened there in that game against the Red Sox in extra innings on September 12th, a 2-1 game. And the only reason I played that is because now Juan Soto is a free agent, and according to reports, he is at the top of the Red Sox quote-unquote want list. I'm annoyed. I'm already annoyed. You're not annoyed by want list? He's on top of my want list.
Should he be on the top of every team's want list?
No. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, he should.
But he's also, according to reports, the second in line to get a meeting with Soto.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more than just a want list. I have lots of wants in this world, right? Like, I want a nice new car. It doesn't mean I actually am going to the dealer to test drive it because right. They might ask me, like, prove you have the money to buy this car, check your credit kind of thing. But they actually have a meeting. They're second in line. That doesn't take it a step further. That doesn't make you
intrigued. It takes it a step further. They are actually sitting down and having a meeting. It's not just all over the phone like it was with Ohtani right. And some of these other guys. And so, sure, fine. That means something. Jeff Passan reported today Soto is at the top of the Red Sox want list. He also wrote that the Red Sox have a meeting on the books with Soto this week. And like the Blue Jays, their aggressiveness extends into the starting pitching market as well. Passan then wrote that the Yankees and the Mets are the favorites for Soto, who appears to like playing in New York City. I think there's a pretty good chance here that Soto ends up back with the Yankees. I think that's
sure.
entirely possible. They did just go to the World Series. I know they lost, but they did make it there. And if you're Juan Soto and you're looking at that and the money's roughly the same or, you know, maybe even a little bit better, then it's not really much. It's a no-brainer, right? You want to stay with the Yankees. You want to stay with the team you just made it to the World Series with. The Mets are a different story, although they had a pretty good playoff run. And I think that in general, these are going to be some of the hurdles that teams like the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, who also had a big meeting with them as well, are going to face. Now, here's the difference. I think the Blue Jays are going to be willing to throw whatever they need to at Juan Soto. I think that they will say, you know what? Name your price here. You write down the number. You send it over to me. We'll get it done. We want you that bad. We'll do it. I don't know that the Red Sox are there, and I think that's going to hurt them. I think that's going to hurt them in the pursuit. If they're not all out ready to do whatever they have to do to land Juan Soto, and I don't think that they are, they're not going to get him. There's going to be other teams out there that'll go that extra mile, or there will be better situations for him to pick. And I think it's going to come down to that. That's why I'm not optimistic like you are on this.
So, but I think you're confused. I don't feel certain they're going to get him. Like, I'm not all in that they're the top favorite, most likely, whatever you want to call it. I do think they are legitimately interested. I do think they're going to approach whatever it is, $500 million. Mm-hmm. I think the estimate now is it's going to be a 14-year deal for north of $35 million a year.
Okay.
Whatever those numbers are. I didn't run into my
head. No way I'm doing that in my head. Yeah. Yeah, if I even was capable of it.
Ay mucho dinero is what it is. It's
a lot of money. Yes.
Boatload of money.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Thank you very much.
Unlike anything the Red Sox have ever done before, you know, blow away the Devers contract, probably close to double it.
14 and 35 is $490
million. Okay, so we're talking about $500 million because maybe it's not quite $600 million. I have seen that $600 million figure thrown out there. And then you get into all the weird stuff, too. Right, like the Ohtani deferred money and how far down the road you're deferring things, and that's an annoying thing. So I don't really want to get into that.
Assuming that there's only enough money for either Soto or help in the rotation, right? I mean, like if you assume that they can just go out and spend whatever and get help everywhere they need it, then fine. But if it's going to come down to one thing or the other, if you can get Soto or you can get two pretty good pitchers, either one of which would be number one on your team compared to what you have right now with Houck and Crawford and those guys and Pivetta. And Pivetta, by the way, who's expected, according to Boris, to get a big contract offers this offseason. Again, according to Boris. But if that's it, if it's between one or the other, you going with Soto or you fixing the rotation?
I think I would go with Soto. But I was just looking up real quick. I don't know how accurate this is, 2025 financial summary on SpotTrack. I don't know if that... It's $107 million current payroll allocations. Projected is $130. So
okay.
Don't they have plenty of money to spend?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a $35 million contract and a $30 if you want it?
Sure.
Multiple contracts with silly numbers out there. Like, I don't... That's the limited mentality. I feel like they've broken you down more than you even know. That you're like, well, if you have to pick one, why do I have to pick one? We're the Boston effing Red Sox.
Yeah, I've asked that question every offseason for the last 3 years. I mean,
right.
Come on.
But, see, that's where you and I differ. The history is on your side for the reasoning for your mentality. Mine is more, they did have some sort of a plan. They've built up said plan to the point where Craig Breslow is acknowledging this is the point you reach in the development of an organization where you supplement the talent you've homegrown or you even utilize the talent you've homegrown to bring in tentpole players, star players, and they have the money and they have the prospects to do that.
Yeah,
this
but they
offseason.
Don't have to trade for Soto.
No.
Soto's just money.
Right. That's my point. So then you trade for Crochet, but you're going to have to extend him. He won an extension last year. He wasn't going to play in the postseason. So I just think, A, you can do both. You can absolutely add both. There's no reason the Boston Red Sox have to be an either or in this situation. And
I agree with this, by the way. I don't think there's any reason they should be. It's just they have been.
Right. But they have been. You know, they can't run from their history, and it clearly has left a painful mark on your psyche.
It has.
And the way you approach this. But I think the team was different. It's the phrase that you hated from Mayo. Those teams are in a different place
cycle,
in their cycle.
Sure.
And the Red Sox of past years were in a different place in their cycle.
Okay, but these last couple of years, I don't think so. I think these last couple of years, they were right there on the precipice of that third wild card and were a player away or a big move at the deadline away from being in that conversation. And instead, they fall apart every year because they don't make any improvement.
But you're just looking at it from the standings. I agree with you on that. They convinced us they were. I'm looking at it from... It was Marcelo Mayer. It was one guy. There was one guy you talked about for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I started to feel bad for the guy. I was like, there's no way this guy lives up to the hype.
Right.
And now it's the big four. Now it's so much so, well, we can trade for Crochet without even giving up the big four because we got the deepest organization. You got Campbell. You're right. The next Barry Bonds. You got all these
Kyle Teal, yeah.
That's a sailboat. It would be a keel. Teal, you have this organization. That's where I mean. I think... They've kind of transitioned from Bloom's plan to Breslow's plan here, and now it's about augmenting that and supplementing that. They're at a different place in their cycle where they're at the top of the cycle, and I admit I've been suckered by the manager saying this is the last time we're going to do this. We're not failing to compete again, right? This is the last. It's not going to be hard like this in the future. That knowledge, I think, and there's opportunities. We're fixating on Soto. There's a lot of other opportunities.
There are.
Right? Like, they could do this in different ways that would probably appease both of us, if we're being honest. Right? The kid coming over from Japan that throws 100 miles an hour and has the best forkball
Sasaki. Yep.
That this quirky thing where he doesn't want to wait two more years and get $300 million, so he's coming over for like $12 million.
Right.
I'm not sure his plan is
the greatest plan for himself personally. Seemed to work for Yamamoto. Just wait till people are giving you $300 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Wait
yeah.
a couple of years.
Worked out pretty good for him. Yeah, Roki Sasaki, Corbin Burns. I mean,
Corbin Burns has other arms out there.
It's a good free agent class.
Right.
Adamas, Pete Alonso, Soto. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of
Bregman,
guys out there.
Hernandez.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, Bregman, if you want to convince me.
Santander. Like, there's a lot of guys out there.
If
yeah.
you want to convince me they want to sign three $200 million players instead of one $600 million player, I'm open. I'll listen to that. Because I do think that's probably a safer way of doing business, especially in this day and age where it feels like everybody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Even position players. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Trevor Story. Has he played for the Red Sox the last 3 years? Like, he's always hurt.
Minimally.
And that's the danger of going all in on a guy like Soto. Now, the flip side of that is you go all in on a guy like Ohtani, and he puts up one of the greatest seasons you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
So,
and the Red Sox did not really have much say. The fact that they were so laissez-faire about guys like Ohtani and Yamamoto and everybody in last offseason, when they were, again, in the mix, I know they didn't have quite the same farm system. It was a good farm system last year.
Agreed.
And they didn't. They just passed on all those guys. And I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine a Leopard suddenly changing his spots right back in one offseason.
That is weird. I will agree with that, because that's a little bit like the Jonas Williams deal. Like, just because you sign Jonas Williams doesn't set you back, doesn't ruin your plan.
Who's Jonas Williams?
The left tackle for the Cardinals that everybody
wanted. Jonah Williams.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Jonas.
Sure.
Jonah. Yeah, his brother.
I wasn't sure what sport we were
Jonas
talking about.
Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
But, like, you could have signed him and made him a swing tackle, whatever. Like, you can make a move a year too early
based on
your, like, big master plan. And I agree with you on that last year. You could have done that as step one of, like, a multi-year plan.
Yeah, instead, the Dodgers signed everybody like they do every year,
right.
And you're sitting there holding your you-know-what, you know? Like, that's annoying.
Bat.
Yeah, exactly. Teoscar Hernandez, he's a free agent again. So, you know, there's options
I would just like
there.
A little optimism from you. Just
listen,
a little.
I'll as soon as they give me a reason, I'll be right there.
They got a meeting with Soto.
Okay, great.
Doesn't that feel like at least a half a reason, a
not
quarter reason?
Not particularly, no.
I mean,
meetings are great. I love meetings.
Yeah, but meetings can lead to
got a big meeting tomorrow.
Action.
Yeah.
Got a big meeting tomorrow?
No.
Is it a lunch meeting?
Probably. I don't know if lunch will be served or not. Either way,
I like lunch.
That's what's going on with the Red Sox right now. Meeting with Juan Soto, as are the Blue Jays, the Mets, and the Yankees, according to Jeff Passan, are the leaders in the clubhouse right now. To
why would Soto never come to Boston?
Retain his services. Why would he never come to Boston? I don't think.
401. Soto would never come to Boston.
Because they're not going to pay him enough.
Well,
no,
if
that's
the reason. But that's not a reason he would never come to Boston. He's going to go where he gets paid. I think he said that at his locker after the World Series.
He'll go where he's paid, and if it's roughly, you know, similar money, he'll go where he has the best opportunity to win. I think it's as simple as that.
And it's comfortable,
money
maybe.
And it's winning.
Because he has bounced around 3 straight years, right?
Is that 3 years
Didn't
now?
Did he go from Washington to San Diego to Yankees?
I believe so. I don't know if that was just in the last 3 years, but that sounds right. And listen, he's a great player, obviously, and he's 26, 27, whatever he is. Yeah, Washington, San Diego, 2 years in San Diego.
Okay.
And then last year with the Yankees. So, yeah, he has bounced around.
I wouldn't want to bounce around. I certainly wouldn't want to go to Canada. No disrespect to our friends that are listening in Canada, but seems like it adds a layer of hassle.
Hey, I've got audio of the offer to Soto from the Red Sox. You ready?
Oh, let's hear it.
It's up to 1 year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
All right. Jelly of the Month Club. Very good.
You would have been a good Clark Griswold with your anger and your negative view of things.
Yeah.
You would have worked in that role.
I also hallucinate the hot blonde women driving around on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happens to me all
or
the time.
Or in the pool.
Yeah, in the pool.
Yeah.
Hey, honey. Just went for a swim. 617-779-7937. Drake May. Is he going to take these Patriots to the playoffs?
There goes my optimism out the door.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.